For the rest of us, let's take our Bibles to Genesis chapter 11, if you will. Genesis chapter 11. As I was studying this week, I got a message together, and we're going to have a foundation of quite a bit of Scripture, and then we're going to go back and show what these Scriptures are saying. So as I read the Scripture, we'll give a commentary on them, and I'll be able to point out just a few things as we go through these Scriptures. Now, Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9 is the Bible record of the Tower of Babel. And so after everyone came off the ark and the earth started being populated again, they met in a field and they started building a tower up to heaven. And we see that God's response was he was not pleased with that. And God came down and confused their language and then scattered them upon the face of the earth. So let's just read what it says, starting at verse 11, chapter 11, verse 1. And you can follow along in your Bible or on the screen. And the Bible says, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech." And it's interesting, it says language and speech. English is spoken in America, in the West, it's spoken in the North, it's spoken on the East Coast, it's spoken on the Northeast, it's spoken in the South, it's spoken in Atlanta, in a lot of different places. But sometimes people speak English and you go, "What'd you say? What was that?" English is spoken in England. It's spoken in Australia. It's spoken in New Zealand. It's spoken in Guyana. It's spoken in many different places. I remember the first time I met an English teacher from Japan, and they were talking to me, and I was just looking like, I don't have a clue. And she'd been teaching English for like 12 years in Japan. She knew the grammar. She knew how to spell, but she didn't know how to pronounce anything. It's like looking at a stop sign and saying stoop. You wouldn't know what a stoop sign is, but it's how you pronounce it. So the Bible says language and speech. So it was not only the same language, it was the same dialect. And because of that, they all got together really well and they could speak each other. They could understand each other and understand every word they said because they spoke the same dialect. It was exactly the same speech. And that's what it's saying. "And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, 'Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly.' And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. And they said, 'Go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach up unto heaven.'" Now this was the first time man is trying to have a contact with God, but it's through their efforts. Not God's efforts. See, religion is man trying to reach up to God. Salvation is God reaching down to man. And Jesus Christ did exactly that. And the Bible says, "Let us make a, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, 'Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they began to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do.'" Now here's interesting commentary of God upon man. If man can imagine something, what God is saying, they can accomplish something. whatever they've imagined they could do. Imagine someone like Thomas Edison imagining the electric light bulb and 1,000 attempts before he found it. But he had it in his mind's eye. He could see it. He could know what it was. And everyone who's invented anything had an idea that something could be accomplished, even if they didn't know how to do it, because God has put the imagination in us. Keep in mind, when Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, it was the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, usually we emphasize the fact of the evil, and that's why they were kicked out of the garden, lest they eat of the tree of life and live forever. But man has been given that knowledge of good and evil. But man chooses evil many times because men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil, right? But it doesn't mean we have to. We can choose good or evil, and we have knowledge to accomplish things. And that's exactly what God is saying. Nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, now God's speaking to himself, the Trinity. Go to, let us, there it is, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Remember in Genesis chapter 1, let us make man in our image. Let us go down and there confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth. Now you see what God's saying. Not only did he scatter, or not only did he mix up their languages, but he scattered them upon the face of the earth. How did people get in Hawaii? Oh, they canoed there. Good luck with that theory. Just take a canoe out in deep ocean and see how far you get. No, God scattered them. How'd they get in all the islands? God placed man there. It's interesting. We had a scientist from Institute of Creation Research two weeks ago, and they were talking about how all the people groups, primitive people groups of the earth have in their thinking and in their legends a flood. And they talk about creation. They talk about everything that's found in Genesis 1 through 10. When I started Grandview Baptist Church 37 years ago, the first thing I did is knock on a lot of doors, 4,000 in a month, 1,000 a week, and I was meeting as many people as possible to have a grand opening, and praise God, 75 people showed up. But I met one man who was in his late 80s, who was a missionary to China for about 20 plus years. And he said to me, he said, do you realize that the characters in the Chinese language are based on the first 10 chapters of the book of Genesis? Well, of course, I didn't know what any Chinese character looked like, so my answer is no, I didn't know that. He said, well, I wrote a book about it, and it's so interesting, the word for sacrifice is the picture of a lamb on an altar. The picture for woman is out of man. All of those characters go back to the first 10 chapters of the book of Genesis. And that is true basically in languages around this world. In December, we'll have John Nelms, who deals with indigenous people and sending national pastors around the world, about 34,000 of them. And he has done intensive study in primitive groups and different nationalities and people groups. And he mentions how their languages, they all have a message of Christ, but it's all distorted, because that's what the devil tries to do, is take truth and distort it. And the devil has done that effectively. So he goes on to say, and they left off to build the city, therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. So twice in this passage, it will say once that God changed their language and made it all different so they couldn't understand each other. But twice it's going to say God scattered them upon the face of the earth. Now in Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, we're going to see what was God's plan with man. And the Bible says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over everything that moveth upon the earth. So what was God's plan with creation? God said, I want Adam and Eve, I want you to have children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and populate the earth. That's God's plan. The earth was corrupted. And so God looked at Noah, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then we find that he was commissioned to build an ark. And then we have the flood. And then we have the ark landing in chapter 10. And then in chapter 11 is what we've just read. Now in chapter 9 verse 7, God is speaking to the descendants of Noah, and they're stepping off the ark, and here's what he says, be ye fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. So what's God's plan? Multiply and cover the earth. What were the people doing in chapter 11? They were all gathering together. Instead of covering the earth, they said, let's don't do that. We'll get lost. We'll get separated. Let's stay together. Let's build a name for ourselves. Let's build a tower up to God. Let's be a great people. God says, no, that's not my plan. So he scattered them upon the face of the earth. By the way, the title for this message tonight is Scattering and Gathering. Scattering and Gathering. And what we're going to see is God has a plan of both. Scattering, and God has a plan for gathering. We'll see what the Word of God says. In Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, the Bible says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. So God scattered them in chapter 11, all the different languages, all the different nations, all the different islands, all the different continents. But we find in the book of Revelation that God also had people from every tribe, every tongue, every race, every island, every continent, people from all around the world, wherever he scattered them, he has people representing all of those in heaven. From every tribe, from every tongue, from every kindred. Revelation 14 verse 6 says, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, saying, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. So we're talking about sharing the gospel. This is about the time of the 144,000 chosen by God, 12,000 from each tribe, these Jewish evangelists scattering the world, protected by God. They receive a mark in their forehead. They cannot die until they're through sharing the gospel. They're sharing the everlasting gospel. That's the same gospel you and I share. It lives forever. And where are they taking it? They're taking it everywhere. That's God's plan. Take the gospel everywhere. And so that has to happen, though, in every generation, right? It's not good enough to do it for one generation because there's another. And they don't know what this generation knows. That's why every generation we have to share the gospel. That's why it's so important to share with teenagers and children the gospel over and over and over again. You say, well, my child's only three. They don't understand it. I know, but two more years, they're five. Well, they might still not understand it. I know, two more years, they're seven. Two more years, they're nine. You see, every generation, you got to share the gospel. I met parents who rock their babies and share the gospel. I'm not against that. Maybe your child will understand that sooner or not. I don't know. But I do know you got to share the gospel. In all generations, we got to do this over and over and over and again. And when we go out, people are of all generations. I've been to quite a few of them myself. And I was saved at 9 years old. I heard the gospel for the first time. I was so excited. I got saved. But that's been a while ago. But I've been sharing the gospel to people ever since I was 13. Sharing the gospel. You never get tired of sharing the gospel. We cannot, as Christians, get tired of sharing the gospel. It's the only hope for humanity. The everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. So what's the task of sharing the gospel? It's to go to every island, every continent, every people group, every language, every tongue, every dialect. I believe there's over 4,000 dialects that don't have a Bible in their language, partly because there's about 4,000 dialects that don't even have a written language. It's a spoken language. And so you can imagine a translator has to live with them, learn their spoken language, then put that language in a phonetical system so it makes sense with some phonics, then has to write the Bible in that, and then has to teach that people how to read, or else they don't have a Bible. That's why it usually takes about 20 years of a person's life to go to a group that has no written language and eventually give them the Bible. It's a long endeavor. And it takes a lifelong process for many, many, many missionaries. Notice what the Bible says in John chapter 11, verse 52. By the way, keep in mind, I'm giving you a scriptural foundation. So if you're wondering, where's he going? You don't have to know right now. Just listen. I have a destination. Right now, we're just driving in a vehicle. You won't know where you're going until we get there, okay? But we're on a ride, and we're taking the scripture. John chapter 11, verse 52. And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Okay, that's Genesis chapter 11. They were all scattered abroad. But what's God's plan? To gather in one in Christ of all of those that were scattered. So what I'm going to show you is God scattered everyone, but he's also in the process of gathering people, not to one location, but to one Savior, his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to be emphasizing missions starting in November, and we need to understand how important that is, that we send out missionaries constantly and support them. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10 says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So his plan is to gather them together in Christ. Now we come to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, we're going to be looking at the day of Pentecost and what took place there. And the Bible says, starting in verse 5, going to verse 11, "And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven." I wonder how many nations that includes. All of them, right? Every nation under heaven. That's all of them. So all civilized world at that time had a representative, because that's exactly what Scripture is saying. Now, these were Jewish proselytes and Jewish. So some were Gentiles that had become Jews. Some were Jews that had been dispersed. And it says, "Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in their own language." Now, what's that? That's the gift of tongues, or the gift of languages, so that the disciples were filled with the Spirit of God, 120 men and some women in the upper room. They get anointed by God. They go out preaching the gospel, and they're able to preach in foreign languages they do not know. They don't understand it. But the people hearing it hear the gospel in their language, in their dialect. How is this happening? And that's what they're asking. How's this happening? How can I hear? Now, keep in mind this. If the apostles wanted to speak to all of those people so that they could understand the gospel, there is already one language they could have done that in. One language. They could have preached in one language and everyone understood it. Why is that so? Because they're Jewish people, Hebrew, or they're Jewish proselytes. A Jewish boy reaches an age and he has a bar mitzvah. What's he do then? He reads in Hebrew. He cannot be officially a Jew until he knows how to read in Hebrew. They could have preached in Hebrew and everyone would have understood it, but it wouldn't have accomplished what God wanted to accomplish. You see, God not only wanted them to understand the gospel, he wanted to hear it in every language of the world. Because the gospel's not just for the Jews, is it? I hope not. We're all Gentiles here, right? The gospel's for all of us. And so what God was using the apostles speaking all these languages, he was trying to show them that the gospel is for everyone. By the way, even the apostles didn't understand that. Acts chapter 4, persecution. Acts chapter 8, persecution. What was that for? It was to get them to spread out of Jerusalem to share the gospel. Acts chapter 4, you have persecution. So they leave Jerusalem and they go into the countryside, Judea, until they get chapter 8. Persecution. How far do they go? They go to Samaria. Samaria is just north of them. It's not until chapter 10 do we have the first Gentile, Cornelius, get saved. When was the gospel challenge given? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. Both means at the same time. Both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. That's given in chapter 1. But it's chapter 10 before the first Gentile gets saved. And no one went looking for him. He sent people looking for Simon Peter, remember? So really, it's only until chapter 13 when the church in Antioch commissions Paul and Barnabas to go out and share the gospel, do Gentiles even get to hear the gospel? And if you look at the rest of Acts, you're also going to find when Paul and Barnabas and later Paul and Silas went to a city, where's the first place they preached? The synagogue. Not where Gentiles gathered. They went to the Jews first. Even in every city. And they were Gentile preachers. They were preachers to the Gentiles, but they went to the Jews first. I'm just saying that was ingrained in every Jewish mind. You realize one of the great proofs of the gospel, or proofs of the resurrection, I should say, one of the great proofs of the resurrection is this. Here are Jewish believers who give their lives to go tell Gentiles about Jesus. Let me tell you how they felt about Gentiles. Remember the book of Acts? The Apostle Paul's giving a defense. And he is telling about the history of the Jews and how hard-hearted they've been. And then he says, and because you will not hear it, I will go to the Gentiles. And he says the word Gentiles and a riot erupts. And here's what they say. That man is not worthy to live. Why? He said the word Gentiles. That's how Jewish people felt about Gentiles. And yet the apostles of Jesus Christ, after the resurrection, every one of them gave their lives, except John the apostle, sharing the gospel to Gentiles around the world. Every one of them gave their lives getting the gospel to everyone. And that's exactly God's plan. See, the gospel has no prejudice. It's for everyone. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Amen? Amen. He loves everyone. Every race, every nationality, everyone. In fact, the Bible says we're all of one blood. So whatever color of skin we have, you cut us, we all bleed the same color. We are all of human race. We're all of one blood. And that's what God's made us. Goes on in chapter 2 of Acts. I continue. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how... Here's their question. How hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? How do they know our language? We come from a distant country. We're in every nation under the earth, but we're hearing our dialect, our speech, and we're hearing the gospel in our language. How's that possible? Well, it was a supernatural event of the Holy Spirit. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Pergama and Pamphylia in Egypt and in parts of Libya around Cyrene and strangers of Rome. We're going verse by verse on Sunday morning through the book of Romans. And remember, no apostle's been to Rome, and yet it's full of Christians. Well, because some people from the day of Pentecost were there, strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our language the wonderful works of God. And that was the miracle of the day of Pentecost. They were gifted with tongues that people could understand. And they were sharing the wonderful things of God. What's that? That God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's no better news to share. That's the wonderful news that God has for all humanity. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, Paul says, of whom I am chief. Now, that's the scriptural background. That's the scriptural foundation. Let me share with you just a few truths now. The first thing, we found out when we read, when the people sought to get to God by building a building up to heaven, God was not pleased with that. So he dispersed their languages and he scattered them upon the face of the earth. So get that vision in your mind. Here's the earth, and now he scattered humanity around the earth. The second thing I want us to see is God separated them first by language and then scattered them upon the face of the earth. And that's just reinforcing what I said the first time. So he took them and he scattered them, and they all speak different languages. So no use trying to meet up together again. They can't understand each other. Even if they bump up against each other, no use intermingling. I don't know what you're saying. I don't even know what you're trying to sign. I don't understand it. They could not understand each other. It's like putting you in a different part of the world and you can't speak the language. Now, given enough time, you could learn, but you don't know it. When God wanted to share the gospel to the world, first, he gathered them to one location. So think about this. See, God scattered them, all different languages, right? But there's a gathering in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And Jews and proselytes, which are Gentiles that become Jewish by faith, Jews and proselytes come together in one location, Jerusalem, out of all nations scattered around the world. So God brings a representative of all the nations of which he scattered and brings them. And I know you could say, well, how about those who are on an island? How'd God bring them there? I don't know how God brought them there. I just know he said there's Jews from every nation under heaven. What, he snap his fingers? And I don't know how God did it, but he did it. Because that's exactly what the Word of God says. He brought them together out of every nation under heaven. And he brought them together to hear one message in their own language. Why is that significant? Why is it? When you are raised speaking one language and then you learn another language, the language you were raised in is called your heart language. That's what you pray in. That's what you talk to God in. You may be raised up speaking Russian, and then you learn English. But if you were raised up speaking Russian, you'd talk to God in Russian. And you understand in Russian all the intricacies of the language that you don't understand in English. You don't understand. You know the grammar. You know how to speak it. You know how to communicate it. But you don't understand all the intricacies of that language because you weren't born that way and you weren't raised that way. Now, I'm not saying someone can't get to that place, but I'm saying it's a difficult journey. Because it's one thing to learn the language, it's another thing to be immersed in the culture and to understand how that language relates to the culture. I was just reading one of our missionaries, Oshi, going to Japan. Well, he's Japanese. He was born in Japan, but he was raised up in America. So he knew how to speak Japanese, but he didn't understand Japanese culture because he wasn't raised Japanese. He was raised American. So now as a Japanese missionary, he has to go and relearn the language so he starts to understand the intricacies of it so that when he preaches, he's properly using it to paint the story that they need to hear to understand the gospel. Acts 2:5 again, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. That's the day of Pentecost. Here's the fourth thing I want us to see. God gathered them together in one location, and then he had them hear the gospel in their own language. How many languages? All of them. What happened in Genesis chapter 11? God scattered them and gave them all these different languages and scattered them upon the face of the earth. What happens on the day of Pentecost? He takes people from where he scattered them all upon the face of the earth. He gets them to Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. He hears 120 disciples preach the gospel in their mother tongue, in their own language, so they can hear it. Acts chapter 2, verse 8, and how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? How do we hear that? Then God commanded his disciples to scatter and preach the gospel around the world. See, once God scattered the people in Acts Genesis chapter 11, once God scattered the people to fulfill his earthly purpose that man might multiply and fill the earth. That's his earthly purpose. But now God scatters the people to fulfill his eternal purpose. So what's the purpose of scattering now? Share the gospel. He wants every Christian to scatter to get to all the islands, all the countries, all the nationalities, all the ethnic groups, all the dialects, all the languages, so they can hear about Jesus in their own tongue. And that was the purpose. He brought them all back to Jerusalem. He shared the gospel with them. He scattered them. And then they started sharing the gospel all around the world. The Bible says, Acts chapter 8, verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Now, I said there was persecution. Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 8. Why? Well, because people didn't like them living for Jesus. Well, that's part of it. Why did God allow persecution? Because he told them in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, to share the gospel, and they didn't. They stayed around Jerusalem. Have you noticed Christians like to be with Christians? If we had our way, we'd still be living in Jerusalem. We'd have a corner of the earth where we're all Christians. That's why people in Oregon want to move back to Texas and Idaho and Montana and everywhere else. I want to go back where there's Christians. I want to go back where they're this or that. Well, yeah, we like that. We like to be around God-fearing people. But that's not God's plan for us. God's plan for us is to scatter around the face of the earth. It's to share the gospel to every creature. That's God's plan. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere. What'd they do? Preaching the gospel. So why'd God scatter them? Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. See, the gospel and Christianity is like a wildfire. You try to stomp it, and all you do is spread the fire. So the more persecution, the more people step up and say, I'm going to preach for Jesus. I was reading from one of our missionaries we support what's the country? I got a mental block right now, but it's not Iraq or Iran, Syria. So he's in Syria, and they smuggle Bibles in there and everything. They had a great amount of persecution about 8 months ago. About 30 of their preachers, home preachers, were killed, were murdered. And let me just say that when they kill a Christian, they don't just shoot them. They torture them to death. They don't kill them easy. They don't just cut their head off. That's the last thing they do. They do everything vile they can against their body to desecrate them. So guess what happened? He said, people all over, Christians all over are saying, I'll be a preacher. I'll be a preacher. He was saying scores of people, when they saw people die for their faith, said, I'll be next. I'll be a preacher. I'll take that church. I'll take that house church. I'll preach the gospel. And they all know it's a death sentence. But by the way, as Christians, what happens when we die? We know who we know where we're going. Death has no fear. We know where we're going. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and all Samaria and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Why? Because that's where God scattered them. The uttermost parts of the earth. We got to get there. Aren't you glad somebody from Jerusalem came to Oregon? Aren't you glad somebody came to USA? We're Gentiles. Somebody came with the gospel. Somebody came to England. Somebody came to Scotland. Somebody came to Ireland. Somebody came from whatever country you're from, and they shared the gospel to your forefathers, and here we are, and the gospel's still being spread, and Jerusalem's on the opposite side of the earth. But it's because the command of Jesus unto the uttermost part of the earth. That's why every Bible-believing church takes missions and sharing the gospel seriously, because it's the command of our commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ our Savior. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, and if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and this is interesting. Notice what it's saying here. And which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Now, how'd that happen? It was preached unto every creature which is under heaven. How's that happen? Because at Pentecost, he gathered them from all nations under heaven. And he preached the gospel in their own language. And they went back home. And they started sharing Jesus. And they got the gospel out to their nation. But wait a minute. That has to keep on going. That has to keep on happening. Generation after generation after generation. The goal Christ has is to gather all people unto Him. Our scattering throughout the world, why do we send missionaries? Why do we send them to India? Why do we send them to China? Why do we send them to all these countries? Because our purpose of scattering is to gather a people for Christ. Amen. That's our purpose. To gather a people for Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10 again. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. John chapter 12, verse 32, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw how many men? I will draw all men unto me. Now, he's not talking about every person. He's talking about people from every tribe, all men, red and yellow, black and white, this language, this continent, that continent. Matthew 24, verse 31, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect. Who's God's elect? The elect are those who respond to the gospel call. So you're not elected and then saved because you're elected. The gospel is presented to you, you respond in faith, and you thereby become God's elect. So the elect are those who choose Christ, those who respond to the gospel. But unless people hear it, how can they respond? Shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Mark chapter 13, verse 27. And then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Here's the last point. Our mission is to help gather people to Christ. That's our mission. Not to church. It's fine, invite them to church, but to Christ. See, church doesn't save them, but Christ saves them, right? Amen. So introduce them to Christ. And that's our mission. So God scattered people around the face of the earth, gave them all these different languages, and then God said to his people, start gathering them together. Not in a building, not in one location, not in one country, but start gathering them for Christ so that in heaven there's people from every tribe, every tongue, every kindred under heaven because we have scattered to share the gospel, to gather them to Christ. So God was upset with the people, and he scattered them around the world. But because God so loved the world, he commissioned Christians to scatter around the world to gather them to Christ. And that's our mission today, all these 2,000 years later. Same mission. So who are we gathering? Who are we sharing the gospel with? That's our life mission. We scatter so we can gather. Wherever God has you, he has you there for a purpose. He sends you to Mexico to go fishing. He expects you to be witnessing there. He expects you to pass out gospel tracts. I don't know Spanish, but I do know how to pass out gospel tracts. I know how to do that. And it's all in Spanish, and I don't know what it's saying, but I know how to give that out. And if God sends you to another state or another country or another people of another language, like you go to Northerners, you guys, I have been a converted Oregonian. I look to men and women and say, how you guys doing? I used to say, that's not guys. Those are girls. That's not guys. We would never do that in the South. We'd say, how are y'all doing? But we wouldn't call them guys. But now I do. How are you guys doing? I love you guys. I'm talking about husband and wife. I'll say, I love you guys. And they're not all guys, but that's accepted here. It's how people talk. God wants us to reach people everywhere. You see how simple it is? Because you and I are on a mission to gather people for Christ so that in heaven there's Northerners and Southerners and Easterners and Westerners and Canadians. Yay? Yay? Yeah? What's that they say? Yeah? Yay? What is that, Miss Vicky? Eh? Eh? There's going to be Canadians. Eh? My daughter-in-law is Canadian. Eh? Yeah. And people from Mexico and Central America and South America and Asia and China and Thailand and Cambodia and Myanmar and I mean, all the nations of the earth. Now, that's our job, to go and gather. And one of these days, we gather the very last soul, and Jesus says, now I can come back. So let's keep gathering, so Jesus will say, now I can come back. Amen. I used to say, I can't wait till Jesus comes. Now I say, I can't wait till he bails us out by calling us to heaven. It's getting rough down here. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. We scatter to gather. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help us to realize that we're on a mission. And Lord, you scattered people around this whole big earth and all the different nations and all the different languages, but you have commissioned us as believers to also scatter around this world and share the good news of Jesus Christ in their language so they can understand and respond in faith to your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, help us from now to the day we die be on a gathering mission of gathering people for Jesus Christ by sharing the gospel and seeing people come to faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, that's our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. The piano's playing for a little while. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let God speak to your heart. What does God want to do in your life? Do you see yourself as on a mission to gather people to the Savior? That's God's plan. That's what God wants out of our life. That's our mission as believers. Let God do something in your heart, in our lives. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've had as we look at your word and we see the message and the truth that you have for us. Lord, it's a big world and people are scattered all over it. Help us do our part here and wherever you have us, and help us also faithfully send out missionaries more every year so that they can gather a people for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I thank you for these good people who have come out tonight. I pray you'll bless and reward them for their faithfulness. I pray you'll work mightily in every one of their lives, their homes, and do something wonderful, dear Father. But use us, Lord. We're not much, but please use us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.